Talk Breakfast. The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Radio City Talk.
Good morning, Pats.
Good morning.
That would help. Right, our first managerial casualty of the Premier League season in Craig Shakespeare, but he wasn't a favourite, was he?
He was not, no.
So, is it right to act quickly or not? Because Leicester are being, not massively, they're not overly criticised, not criticised to the extent they were when they sacked Claudio Ranieri, but they are being criticised in some of the papers this morning, talking about how they've acted here. But they've acted quickly because they've said they don't feel it's heading in the right direction. Mm. But of course, Ronald Koeman was the top of the list. So what is the appropriate way to deal with the situation? How long do you let it fester?
Well, I suppose from Leicester's point of view, they were the champions 18 months ago, so they've got to make big decisions. And maybe they made a poor decision by actually appointing them in the first place and not thinking it through. And maybe they've got someone already lined up, and maybe it is just good timing. So I suppose from that point of view, maybe that's one of the things with Everton. Maybe a successor hasn't presented himself to make it easier for Everton. Because if Everton just decide, you know, they don't want Ronald Koeman as the manager anymore, then they have to make a decision who replaces him. And that's a huge decision going forward. Would that person be better than Ronald Koeman? And maybe that person hasn't presented themselves at the moment. I don't believe that Everton wouldn't be making investigations, let's say, into managerial appointments for the future, because I think they have to. I think all clubs have to. I think when Liverpool sacked Brendan Rodgers and had Jürgen Klopp there, I think that showed you that it sometimes it doesn't even actually matter, I don't think, how well your manager's doing. If another manager a more talented manager presents himself, I think a club has to be proactive. Because it happens anywhere else on the football pitch. You know, if you've got a striker and a better striker comes along, you'll easily replace that striker with the better striker. So why not the manager? I just think that maybe that candidate hasn't come out yet. Because let's be honest, there aren't too many about. And maybe Everton are willing to give Ronald Koeman the benefit of the doubt till maybe someone presents himself.
I watch your colleague on Toffee TV. Is Baz, isn't
Baz,
it?
Yeah.
Baz. I watched Baz's summary of the game at the weekend against Brighton. And he sat on this couch. And within the space of 8 minutes, he sort of gradually deflates into a withering mess. I'm sure you've seen it as well. But I was quite intrigued, actually, because this monologue went on and on. It was like he was bearing the weight of the world. It was all coming off his shoulders. And, you know, this poor camera was having to digest it all. But it was fascinating viewing, in all honesty. Was he reflective of the general Everton fan base as to what you saw at the weekend in that Brighton game?
I think so. I mean, just for a start, he was in a caravan in Wales. So that
is that why that caravan with the little...
So that may be why he was...
Rusty seat behind him.
That's maybe why he was halfway there. He'd gone and took a couple of days off and gone away for the weekend. I made a point myself at the weekend on Twitter. Nobody seems to be arguing about Ronald Koeman leaving his job. They're all arguing about who would take his job. That seems to... Everywhere I look on social media, and obviously social media isn't the in and outs, you know, but it's a good barometer. I always say that people dismiss the likes of Twitter and things like that, but they are a good barometer. And no one seems to be arguing about whether Ronald Koeman should keep his job.
Anyone?
I don't. I mean, yeah, of course. I do see people, and maybe there are, you know, more rational people out there. But I see people arguing about whether it should be given to a experienced manager or whether it should be given to David Unsworth. And to be honest, I'll be on Twitter. I follow some Blues that have been around the block. Who've probably seen it all and are not, you know, good, you know, who are businessmen and successful businessmen who you wouldn't think would just jump at Ronald Koeman, but they are. So that's worrying, because I've said for a while he's not the kind of person that has made himself likable to Evertonians. He really isn't, and I think that makes the decision a lot easier for Evertonians. I said it myself as well. When Roberto Martinez, all the pressure was on him, I found it really hard to jump on board, because he was a really likable person. He really was, and I was very fortunate to meet him, you know, two or three times and have conversations with him. He was a really nice person who got Everton and wanted to be part of Everton. So that was really difficult. With Ronald Koeman, it's not difficult. It really isn't, because he keeps us at arm's length and he makes it known that it's not his ultimate stop. And he doesn't even lie about it. He doesn't even say, I want to build something amazing. It's like in 2000 and...
Would you be happy if he lied about it?
Well, let's be honest, all my, if any Liverpool fan genuinely thinks Jurgen Klopp is staying in Liverpool for the end of his days, then they're mad. But at least he...
He'll be there for 6 years.
At least he plays
another
into...
6 years?
Well, yeah, maybe he will, but at least he plays into it. At least
long
he,
time,
at least not that long. Listening to you before, it's almost retirement. but at least he plays into it. At least while he's at the club, he's given everything. You don't feel that with Ronald. You really don't. Mm. All you hear is breaks and holidays and these kind of things, all the negative things. And I just think maybe if he'd put the tone out there slightly different. Listen, he doesn't have to say we and us and these kind of things all the time. But there's a coldness to him that makes it very, very easy for fans, I think, to just turn around and say, go, please leave. Because there's no affection there. There really isn't. And as I say, I don't see fans bickering over whether he should stay or go. So I think in the fans' eyes, he's a dead man walking.
You as much as me are probably quite bored about the narrative and how much we've been speaking about Ronald Koeman for weeks. And obviously the club isn't a club that does a knee-jerk reaction to all this. Without a shadow of a doubt, this seeps through to the players. It does, whatever you think. They're just normal people. They look at the internet, they read Twitter, they read the papers. Yeah. It in turn affects the players, doesn't it? Because it's in their heads. They understand exactly what the fans are thinking as well.
I think the players, and actually before I came in here today, I didn't want to just jump on Ronald Koeman. I want, you know, it probably affects the players into some of them think they've got a way out. And it was very evident.
Scapegoat.
Yeah, and it was very evident towards the end of Roberto Martinez's time at Everton that a lot of players had stopped playing. And you hear this all the time. He stopped playing for the manager, or he's lost the dressing room. Well, at the end of the day, the players, you know, paid by Everton are paid very well. And it's up to them to start rolling up their sleeves and having a go. We've talked in the past about Everton having leaders now and having captains and captains of countries and players have won things. Well, where are they? Because I can't see them on the pitch. So isn't it about time a few of those more experienced players said, listen, come on, now it's time. You know, forget about him. Let's just roll our sleeves up and do a job today because it needs doing. I don't see enough of that. I didn't see on Sunday any leaders. Maybe for the last 5 minutes they start having a go. So maybe some of those players now need a bit of pressure on them from the media, from fans, to say, well, hang on, you came for whatever, you know, Sigurdsson 45 million or Wayne Rooney with all the things he'd done at Man United, or any of those players, and say, come on, now it's time that you've decided to do something for us, because they're letting the fans down massively. Whether they like playing for the manager, whether they like him, whether they like playing the formation or whatever, it's time now that they rolled the sleeves up, because, you know, big game tomorrow night, big game on Sunday and a big game Wednesday. I mean, I could be, you know, here next week talking about us out of a cup competition and looking badly in the league and thinking, oh, what's next, the League Cup? Whereas if you flip it round, the things could look very, very different, you know, in a week or so time. If we can get past Chelsea, if we can beat Lyon.
How good are Lyon? Have you had a look at them?
They're all right. They're actually okay. I think they've had a really good start to the season. They beat Monaco on Friday night 3-2. I think they got a last-minute winner. There's a game there, by the way, in France, played on a Friday night to look after both teams because they were in Europe. Wouldn't that be nice? but they're all right. And I think people dismiss French football. But I think what they've got, what other countries haven't got, is they've got a very physical league. So when they come and play us, that side of the game doesn't worry them. And in a player like Memphis, obviously ex-Man United, they've got a very talented centre forward. Team scored a great free kick last week for Holland. So no, I think they'll be dangerous. But I think these two games are pivotal. Obviously we've got them back to back. I think these are the two pivotal games. I think if we can take 4 points off them, I think we can get out the group. Because I do think that Atalanta will win the group. But we've got them at home, so we can affect that as well. But I think it'll be these two games. Because if it's flipped, if they get 4 points off us, that's it. We're out. So, obviously, the start would have to be tomorrow night at Goodison.
Right, lots of the Blues were quite perplexed about Dominic Calvert-Lewin's position in the game against Brighton. Now, he's done an interview and admitted that he's got to start converting his opportunities. But until he's played in a more natural role, is he always going to be struggling?
No, I think he still had chances. He had a brilliant chance against Limassol in the last minute. He had a good chance on Sunday. And yet he can point to the fact that he has, at times he's been played out of position. The manager's got to start playing in his position. He doesn't score enough goals, but he's going to get more chances, you'd like to think, if he played centre forward.
Would you not just stick with him up front?
You've got to, because the manager bemoaned the fact that he didn't get a centre forward. He's got a player who can play up front, you know, and he doesn't play him there. It's mad. It's absolutely mad. He reminds me, even though it's just a little bit before my time, he reminds me of Graeme Sharp. When he came to the club, he's got that ability, but maybe he hasn't got the goals yet. He'll hopefully grow into that. But if you don't stick him up front, he's not going to score goals. Unfortunately, he'll play anywhere because he's that kind of character. But the manager's blind to it. I don't really see the point in playing Wayne Rooney up front because all he does is end up playing centre midfield anyway. So then you've got no centre forward, and I think these are the things that make fans want to bang their heads on the wall, because you look at it and you see it every game. That he should be playing up front.
Are you learning now that there's no starting role for Wayne Rooney?
No, I think there's a starting role. I just don't think it's a centre forward. Or on his own anyway. Because Wayne will drop in always. So you've got to play him up front with Dominic Calvert-Lewin or play him in the number 10. And then you've got a decision to make about Sigurdsson. But you have to make that decision. Because Wayne Rooney's got no discipline. He really hasn't. And he's not. I doubt he's going to get discipline in this stage of his career. You've got either the manager really sits down with him and tells him, "I don't want you moving from the final third of the pitch," or you're playing in a two, or you're not playing. It's as simple as that. Because you seen it on Sunday. After about 25 minutes, he just got bored and ended up just wandering back. Because that's what his game is, and that's what he's done for the whole of his career. What you need is someone like Dominic Calvert-Lewin who stay up front all game, listen to what the manager wants him to do, and then you've got a focal point. But that, if you've got no centre forward, that allows the opposition to just get 10, 15 yards up the pitch, and then you're even more toothless. So these are the decisions the manager's been running away from all season, I think, and he's got to make it very clear to the players what's going on.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall on Radio City Talk.